This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show with me, the Beaver Hunter, Jesse. Don't shake your head, Chris. Anyway, we're going to do a bunch of emails and stuff this hour. We're going to make fun of Jasmine Crockett here shortly. We're going to talk about how the economy is shifting away from being foreign to domestic. That's a good thing. All that and so much more coming up in the final hour of the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. I want to remind you, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. I also want to remind you that communists are anti-humans. Anti-humans. The right is always making a mistake in dealing with communists because they feel like at least some of the values have to be the same, right? I used to get told this all the time from guys who'd been in Republican politics for a long time. Well, we all kind of want the same things. And I remember looking at them like they were an alien life form when they said that. Do you listen to these people when they talk? We don't all want the same things. That's crazy. Anti-humans are not going to share any of your morality. Here's Texas Representative Jasmine Crockett. Remember, Texas has been crushed by these floods. The stories are so bad. It's awful. Listen to Jasmine Crockett. She's kind of attempts to say the right thing, but it's so obvious that there's no feeling there. There's no empathy there. She ends up just making it about her.
So anyway, I just wanted to jump on because my heart is truly heavy for all of these families. The sad part is I think that my heart is going to carry a level of weight that will continue to weigh me down as we have to continue to do our best to survive an administration that literally is against us. An administration that is doing everything in my mind to hurt us and not help us. And it feels like we're fending for ourselves.
That was her statement as they're pulling little girls out of the mud and notifying their families they're dead. That was her statement. This is the problem the communist runs into, especially dumb ones like Jasmine Crockett. Her problem is she's not dumb enough to fake it. They don't have any feeling for human beings. And sometimes it just comes out. What a statement. Let's do some emails. Jesse, I'm a little shocked at the president's response to the Epstein question this morning. Surely he must realize there are a lot of unanswered questions surrounding this issue, and surely he must understand how deeply disturbing this case is to many Americans. His response smacks of nothing to see here, move on. Okay, so there was this restaurant one time. It was in a little town, Townsend? Townsend, Montana, I believe is the name of the town. Don't quote me on that, but I'm pretty sure that was the name of the town. And in this little restaurant, on occasion, if my dad and I were going through to a construction project or we were going hunting or we were on some kind of a family trip, they had a little Italian restaurant. This is a small town in Montana. Maybe you've been there, maybe you've heard of it, but it's a small town. And they had a little Italian restaurant in this town. And little family-owned joint, one of those great little, the red and white tablecloth Italian joints where you walk in and you know you're about to have a good Italian meal. You know. Don't shake your head, Chris. You're just jealous because your food sucks. Anyway, back to what we were discussing. And every single time we went through this place, I got the menu item that was, for me, it was one of the greatest things I've ever eaten in a restaurant to this day. Calamari steaks. You know what calamari is? Everyone has fried, every bar has fried calamari, the little squid. Well, very, very rarely you will find a restaurant that will serve it up as steaks, a gigantic slab of it. And they always cook it in lemon butter. And if it's done right, It's so, so good. So good. It's almost impossible to find. No restaurant carries it. But when you find one that does it well, it's amazing. The calamari steaks, my dad and I both, it was all we'd order. You might get something else on the side. You're getting a calamari steak at this restaurant. It was what we did every time we went through there. And the last time we went through there, went in, all excited, because this was once a year, maybe once every 2 years we would ever get here. Go in there, sit down, open up the menu. No calamari steaks. They're not on the menu. We're thinking, wait, what? Immediately that panic starts to set in. Wait, what? There's no way they took it away, right? So grab the owner, because the owner was always coming around talking to people. It's not like we did the whole Karen talk to the manager thing. Owner comes over, and my dad and I were all, where are the calamari steaks? The calamari steaks. What? Why don't you? And he said, hey, look, nobody liked those steaks. And we about fell out of our chair. We told him, though, we're the best thing ever. You don't understand. But for him, he wasn't us. He was in that restaurant every single day. He's studying the bottom line every single day. Who orders what? How many of these? Okay, so we had 25 spaghetti orders, 2 pizzas. He's in the middle of it every single day. So that gives him one perspective on it. I'm not saying it gives him the correct perspective. I'm not saying it gives him the incorrect perspective, but he has the perspective of the guy who runs the restaurant. So for calamari steaks to him were something nobody ordered because they sucked. No one cared about them. Calamari steaks for us, the customer, were everything. It was the only reason we'd ever go to the restaurant. We never went back, as a matter of fact. Never went back. Not going to go. What's the point? I can get spaghetti anywhere. I want a calamari steaks. When you are the president of the United States of America, that in and of itself is a bubble. Because remember, everybody, I tried to explain this before, everyone around you works for you. Everybody in your life, even if they don't work for you, they want something from you. They don't want to anger you. They want to be in your favor. I've honestly, you don't want to think of the president as a king because we don't want a king, but it's very much like that. I'll never experience that in my life. Neither will you. But imagine every single person who surrounds you wanting your favor at all times. Can I do something for you? That may be nice. That may sound nice. You'll find somebody to make a Red Lobster run for you. But it's going to give you a perspective of life, of America, of the people that is not always 100% accurate. People like you, like me, we want to know who the wealthy, powerful people were that were abusing young girls. We've been told for years that all these young girls were abused. We find that disgusting. We want the wealthy, powerful, billionaires, politicians, foreign, domestic, Republican, Democrat. We don't care. We want these people held to account. And it's not a small deal to us. On the us, normal people on the outside looking in, it matters deeply to us. Now, and this is not a defense of Donald Trump and what he said, not a defense of dropping it, so don't take it that way. But look at his perspective. President of the United States of America. He's working peace deals across the globe. Trade deals. Remember, terrorists fall down August 5th. He's calling Vladimir Putin, meeting with Japan. Japan, you have this big thing going. He's securing the United States border. He's whipping votes in Congress to try to pass the one bit. This is a tiny fraction of what he experiences every single day. That's a bubble. Surrounded by people who work for him, that's a bubble. Jeffrey Epstein, getting to the bottom of things? Oh, sure. I brought it up on the campaign trail, but surely everyone's moved on. Gas prices are low. Surely everyone's moved on. Haven't you heard? The border is secure. I don't have time to deal with this. I'm trying to get a Nobel Peace Prize. That's what I was trying to get through to the Trump administration. If you think this is something people are going to just let go or blow off, you are in a bubble, and you are sorely mistaken. And maybe you don't have the goods, as I believe. Maybe the goods have been destroyed and you don't have them. You thought you did. You told everybody to go on television and say we're going to release everything. And then the file gets on your desk and the FBI and CIA have had the paper shredder to it and the redactions to it. And you find out you don't have the goods. You don't have this list. You don't have that. You don't have it. Then you've got to tell the American people that. It's not going to make people cheer. But whatever you have or don't have, you have got to be as forthcoming with that as you possibly can. Because this is not something people are going to let go because gas prices are low. They're just not. We have a bubble. Bubbles. That's the problem. All right. Let's talk about Stacey Abrams, the world of make-believe again, briefly. And then we'll move on, get back to emails. Let me first talk to you about your mind. All of us, we get old. And as you get older, your mind doesn't necessarily work like it always used to. I mean, think what Chris is going to be like when he's older. It's just going to be non-functional. He's going to need a snorkel to eat a bowl of soup. That's where Chalk comes in. That's where natural herbal supplements from Chalk come in. Testosterone is not about just making babies. That's a nice side benefit. It's about your mind and how you think and your focus and your mood. Natural herbal supplements from Chalk will change your life. And these are anti-communists you can trust. You know how many people email me and tell me, well, I can't believe they took time with me. I had questions. I was texting them questions. They were texting me back. The dimes were on the phone and they were so helpful. It was so wonderful. You can experience this. You want to find out what they can do? Naturally, no more drugs. Naturally, call them, text them. 50CHOQ3000. We'll be back.
Missed out?
Catch up.
JesseKellyShow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful, fantastic Wednesday. Remember, you can email the show, Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com. I'm going to get back to the emails here in just a second, but as a beaver hunter, I feel obligated to go. Don't roll your eyes, Chris. I feel obligated to go over again. We are seeing an escalation in violence from communists. There's an escalation in rhetoric from Democrats and media members. This is translating into an escalation in violence from the street animals. This kind of stuff. It's not standard Democrat talking points. For you, it is, because you're a normal human being. The crazy, malcontented, psycho communist sitting at home with nothing to live for hears this stuff and takes it as marching orders.
You send the U.S. Marines into spaces they should not be. You send the National Guard in. You kidnap people off of the streets and pretend that's normal, because that's how you quiet dissent, because you make everyone afraid that if they don't do what you want, they might be next. And once you've done those nine steps, steps 10 is easy. That's when you decide there won't be new elections, because everyone's either afraid, poor, broken, or complicit.
Sounds like nothing. The person at home with nothing to live for takes that as marching orders. They put on some tack gear and they go try to kill some ICE agents. This stuff, this was CNN. This is the stuff that activates the street animal.
Here's the thing. They are not going after criminals. They're going after anybody that is brown, that looks like me, that can't pass as what they say as a typical American.
Sounds like nothing to you. It's not nothing to them. Here's Hakeem Jeffries on CNN.
According to Axios, some are even being told they need to be more willing to go out there and get shot when fighting. That was a direct quote, get shot when fighting back against some of Trump's policies. One House Democrat saying, quote, and I'll read it to you, our own base is telling us that what we're doing is not good enough. There needs to be blood to grab the attention of the press and the public.
This was from Newsmax.
This was in San Antonio, Texas, where a challenger for a District 1 council called for the killing of ICE agents in Los Angeles. You won't even believe this. This is Matthew Guana, and he posted the comment here on X in response to DHS agents arresting illegals in L.A. He says, and they will get shot by the Los Angeles public. I want to see a few dead ICE agents, Los Angeles. Don't let me down. Can you believe?
Remember what happened? right after Chuck Schumer said this.
I want to tell you, Gorsuch, I want to tell you, Kavanaugh, you have released the whirlwind and you will pay the price. You won't know what hit you if you go forward with these awful decisions.
Elite communists give the orders. That's what those were. They were orders. Elite communists give the orders. Street communists carry out the violence. Elite communists then step in and provide legal protections. As the Democrat Party goes down and down and down in popularity, that's really what's sparking a lot of this. The Democrats are not only out of power, they're unpopular. So they feel really, really out of power. Well, the more out of power Democrats get, the more they will escalate street communist violence. It's a warning for all of us to be ready, to make preparations. Jesse, I've been listening to your show for quite a while, and I look forward every night to hearing some good history information. Your knowledge and ability to communicate complex history is just wonderful. It is wonderful. I agree. But that's what beaver hunters do, Chris. We communicate history. Chris, you're going to be so jealous when I get... Oh, by the way, I used to have a beaver hat. Did you know that? Now, what? They're only like $100 a pelt? Yeah, well, mine wasn't authentic, buddy. It was fake. It was fake fur and whatnot. It was when I was a kid. I was obsessed with John Wayne movies. My dad was obsessed with them. Therefore, as any young man, I was obsessed with them. And I used to watch all the John Wayne movies. And there's a great John Wayne movie. I've heard it's a true story called The Alamo. And John Wayne plays Davy Crockett in that movie. And he wears a beaver hat. And after I saw that movie, all I wanted was a beaver hat so I could dress like Davy Crockett in The Alamo. And that year for Chris, what, Chris? What? You mean it's not a beaver hat? I know it's a coonskin, but I thought it was beaver at the time. And so eventually I was given that beaver hat, which was kind of coonskin, but I told everyone it was a beaver hat. And I think it cost like $5. It definitely wasn't real fur. But for me, it was the greatest thing in the world. Why do you have to try to correct me? I bet Davy Crockett had a beaver one for real. That coonskin one, that's Hollywood lying, Chris. Hollywood tells lies. You would know. Jesse, what happened to your Pam Bondi versus Fox arrest board? I only listened, so is it still up? Okay, it's still up. And we are keeping track of the Fox News appearances versus government arrest appearances. And I'll put a display up again. I want to see, not that I'm hopeful, I want to see if this James Comey, John Brennan stuff actually goes somewhere. I don't think it will. I think it's going to amount to a couple slap on the wrist perjury charges, and these guys are going to get off scot-free like government people always do. But I hate to even say this because you know I'm not a fan. I wish it was someone else, but I want to see if she can do it. I'm going to see if she can put together a case against government people and send government people to prison. I guess maybe I'm waiting at this point in time. Pause on that for a moment. I hope that first responders and the heroism of first responders, I hope that's on your mind as we see what they're doing in Texas as we speak, as we see what they did in Idaho and what they went through in Idaho. Remember when that animal ambushed a couple of them? And I hope you understand that Tunnel to Towers, when the worst happens, when a fireman dies in an ambush, Tunnel to Towers steps in as fast as they can to try to bring some level of comfort for the families. You know those two firemen who were killed in Idaho? You know Tunnel to Towers announced they're going to pay off the mortgages for their families? No, it doesn't bring them back. They don't pretend it does. But I'll tell you what, the financial stress that comes after dad dies, seen it many times, it's tough. At least taking a mortgage payment off someone's plate is something. That's real, real help. And that's what you do with your $11 a month. T, the number 2, T.org. T2T.org. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, and it is a happy day with me, Beaver Hunter Jesse. Remember, if you miss any part of the show, you can download it on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Don't shake your head when I talk about that, Chris. You're going to feel bad when I have a beaver pelt and you do not. Guess who's not getting one? It's probably not even kosher anyway. I'll get one for Corey. I'll get one for me. You can have nothing. You can have nothing. No, you're not going to wear it. You're not going to have the opportunity to now. You don't need to with that ridiculous hippie hair you have going. Dear cheetah fighter Jesse, while I can totally buy your claims that you're a jerk, I have to take issue with claims of being dumb according to community college grades, algebra, etc. Here's why. You said you did so well on the Armed Services Aptitude Battery, ASVAB. I actually didn't even know that's what that stood for. That you could practically have written your own ticket for an occupational choice upon reenlistment if you had reenlisted. And I believe you. Yeah, I got an 87. Well, I'm somewhat familiar with the test, having sat for it myself and having read the book, The Bell Curve. The book repeatedly mentions a strong positive correlation to adult cognitive tests in the ASVAB. So here's my question. Are your dumb guy claims, unlike your claims of being a jerk, just shtick for the Jesse Kelly Show? Well, there are things that are not arguable. I'm not sure how to answer that, so I'll try to answer it this way. I did get a 0.0 grade point average my first semester of college. I graduated high school. I went to Montana State. If you don't believe me, I believe the transcript is still on the website. My first semester, I got 0.0. That's not arguable. Something else that's not arguable. When I got out of the Marine Corps and I went to community college, granted it was a pretty high-end community college, I had to drop algebra a couple times because it wasn't going well. It's not arguable. I graduated in the bottom half of my high school class, but it was a big class. I mean, there were a lot of kids, but the bottom half. And remember, there weren't even very many Asians, and I finished in the bottom half still. So that's not ideal. I think I'm very similar to other people in that I'm quote, smart at what I love, and I'm dumb at what I don't. Why did I dislike algebra so much? I think math is so boring. Some people love it and they're good at it. I think it's so boring. And when you think it's boring, when you're not into it, you tend to, I'm not saying this is right, you tend to not put as much effort into it. And you don't put any effort into it, then you get worse at it. And so you know, the boredom turns into being bad at it. Sports is actually a good example. Have you ever wondered, let me ask you this. Here's a good way to answer this. Have you ever looked at a professional fighter of some kind, a professional boxer or UFC guy, and wondered, why would you do that for a living? Think about that. Because those guys, it's not as if they're not afraid. Don't ever think that. Some of the greats of all time will tell you, I was scared to death every single time. I thought I was going to die. I thought I was going to get hurt. All the different jobs you could do for a living, and you punch other people in the face and get punched in the face and kicked and concussions and broken bones. And why would you do that for a living? Well, you have to rewind. How did you get into it? Maybe you were getting beat up in school. Maybe your dad was one. Maybe whatever. But if you talk to those guys, you will almost always discover this. And this applies to wrestlers too, you know, wrestlers. Somewhere along the line, they had a boxing fight, an MMA fight, a wrestling match, and they won. And that feeling is hard to replicate. They were good at it. And so you started to put more time and effort into it. And then you started to love it. And then that translated into being better at it. And you see, we're all, quote, smart at things we love. And we're all dumb at things we don't love. There are so many things. I have so many blind spots and things that I cannot do. Why do I call myself the menu whisperer, besides the fact that it's unbelievably true? I should note that I went to a barbecue restaurant the other day, never been in this place before. I ordered two things because sometimes I'll do that, wanting to try them both. The waitress set the two things down in front of me, and she said, "This is in front of Ab and the boys. You really did good with these two things." I looked her right in the eye, and I said, "I know I did." And the boys were horrified, and Ab was rolling her eyes. But why am I good at ordering food? Because I love it. Because I have an unhealthy obsession with food, with eating delicious foods, so I put a really unhealthy amount of time into it. There are different kinds of smart. I'm smart at things I enjoy, just like you are. It's no better. No better, no worse. I'm bad at things I hate and good at things I love. Jesse, do you or Jewish producer Chris have an opinion about Shake Shack burgers? I know you usually go to more high-end at Red Lobster, but I was just wondering what you think. Dude, I love Shake Shack. I love Shake Shack, but my issue is this. The crinkle-cut fries. Now, Shake Shack at least cooks them long enough that they have a little crisp on them. But crinkle-cut fries, fries should be thin. Fries should be thin. I don't want steak fries. I don't want crinkle-cut fries. If I wanted a baked potato, I would have ordered a baked potato. Fries should be thin and crispy. That's my point. That's exactly right, Chris. Chris brought up a good point, which is amazing. Crinkle-cut fries are very similar, and Lord, forgive me for making this comparison. I'm sorry. They're very similar to mozzarella sticks. Mozzarella sticks, when they're right temperature, right coating, mozzarella sticks are almost impossible to beat. I'm a mozzarella stick fan. But it's so hard to get them right. They're either too hot, and right when you pull them out, you bite into them, and then that liquid, the oil, they fry it in, it squirts out on your face, and you have third-degree burns on your face, and it's miserable. But then, so you don't do that, and what do? You wait, but you wait a little bit too long, and now the cheese has gotten too rubbery, and now they suck. It's hard to make a good mozzie stick. The exact same thing applies to crinkle-cut fries. It's hard to make them right. McDonald's fries? Arby's curly fries, seasoned curlies, it's hard to screw them up. You can get McDonald's fries, not even all that hot, and they're still good. They're better hot, don't get me wrong, but let's say your wife's being selfish, not that Abba would do anything like this, and she opened up the bag to steal some fries when you're on the way home after you picked it up, and that means the heat got let out, and therefore your McDonald's fries aren't as piping hot as they should be. You can get by with that. If that's the crinkle cuts, it's over. It sucks. Jesse, I just bought a Burna for my dime, Kimberly. She loves watching 2020 and Dateline murder shows like Ob does and told me the other day that she feels like she needs something to protect herself. After my initial surprise, I asked her if she wanted something that was less lethal but would stop a bad man in her tracks. She agreed, and her Burna is on the way, along with one for me as well. My question I have for you is, what is your loadout? Do you run full magazine of kinetic rounds or tear gas, or is it possible to go alternating rounds in the same mag? Okay, his name is Bo. One, good job, Bo and Kimberly. Two, I've told you before that Burna, the reason it's legal in all 50 states and you don't need a permit is because it's less lethal. It's not a gun. So even your girlfriend, your wife, maybe you, I don't like guns. I'm not comfortable with guns. That's fine. Don't call it a gun. They have tear gas rounds. It's got tear gas powder in it, which is brutal. It's so brutal. But they also have what are called kinetic rounds, and I need to explain this. That's a hard plastic round. So you know how I tell you SWAT teams carry Byrna? There's all kinds of Byrna products. SWAT teams, they will load up one or two kinetic rounds to be shot first. And what they'll do is, if there's a hostage situation, something like that, they'll go up to a window, pop, pop, shoot it out with the kinetic rounds, and then start shooting the tear gas rounds in there. I go every other round. I have kinetic tear gas, kinetic tear gas, kinetic tear gas. I'm not telling you that's how you should do it, but that's what I want. I want something whap that's a hard whap, and I also want some kind of a chemical agent. By the way, go save yourself a pile of money, 10% off right now. BYRNA, Byrna.com. We'll be back.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Wednesday, but don't worry, we will be back tomorrow. In the meantime, you can email us, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. You hear Gavin Newsom?
The fact that you had a president of the United States, or at least a former president that was running again, who wanted to put America in reverse, wanted to bring us back to a pre-1960s world. On voting rights, civil rights, LGBTQ rights, on women's rights, not just access to abortion, but access to contraceptive.
Oh, California. Anyway, Newsom's in some trouble.
Justice Department suing California over alleged Title IX violations. The lawsuit cites Governor Gavin Newsom's own words that biological males competing in women's sports is, quote, deeply unfair. The Justice Department slams policies that eviscerate equal athletic opportunities for girls, and they also require girls to share in intimate spaces such as locker rooms with boys, causing a hostile educational environment that denies girls educational opportunities.
I am so fascinated. I'm really genuinely fascinated. We've talked about this before, about the tranny thing in Democrats. And setting aside the insanity and morality and all that other stuff, it's such a political loser. I've always said this. It is a political loser. Even if you're King Tranny, right? Even if you're Mr. Tranny.
Why are you gay?
No one cares about that issue. But if you become the promoter of it, you turn people off so badly. Because for normal people, for most people, it's weird, it's gross, it's bad, and yet that has become the Democrat Party. But they took it a step further. Men competing in women's sports. These dudes, high school, college, and professional, it happens around the world, where some dude will just grow his hair out and go start beating the crap out of women in sports. That creates, just again, politics aside, decent human beings. You don't have to be political. They don't want to ever see a woman hurt. It's not that people cheer when a man gets hurt, but the good part of you, the instincts inside of you says, hey, a woman, you know, they're smaller, they're weaker, their wrists are just pathetic. They should be protected. And when a man hurts one, it turns everyone off. Some people, like me, we want to go kill that guy, but it turns everybody off. Democrats are now the party of cheering for the abuse of women. That's what it is. I don't care about sports records. It's not that it doesn't mean anything to me, but that's not what gets me the most. What gets me the most is these men are physically hurting these women. And these men are, I don't like to talk about it. It's really gross, but you know, Paula Scanlon, she was one of those swimmers at UPenn. I've interviewed Paula a couple times. And she talks about, now think about this, you're a college girl. You're a young lady. They had to change in front of a dude in the locker room. Isn't that just the worst thing you've ever heard in your life? Doesn't that make you want to just choke somebody? Democrats, they not only support it, they loudly support it. And they just got crushed on this issue. This issue is not a side issue. It's not that at all. Donald Trump's campaign, they were running all kinds of commercials nationally. And like all political campaigns, they were testing with the audience to see what works and what doesn't. What moves the meter with independents, with undecided people? I started to really notice this actually in Texas, as a matter of fact, where advertisement after advertisement was about the tranny issue. And I thought, well, that's okay. I get that, but it's also Texas. I could see maybe the Trump campaign, they think it's going to move the needle and move the needle in Texas. I get that. It's a red state. But then I had to go up to Pennsylvania for a family affair. Swing state. The same ad was running all the time on television. The ad moved the American public into Donald Trump's corner. Yeah, Chris, yeah, go ahead and play him. That weird Charlemagne guy. Even him. Listen.
I'll tell you what, that ad they was running during the football games this weekend claiming the vice president supports funding gender transition surgeries for all prison inmates and migrants in the U.S., that was nuts.
I don't know if it was the backdrop of football,
but when you hear the narrator say Kamala supports taxpayer-funded sex changes for prisoners, that one line, I was like, hell no, I don't want my taxpayer dollars going to that.
I definitely see that. She did.
That ad was effective.
Kamala took a picture with a transgender. It was just what they were saying, that it made it seem like Kamala supports transgender sex changes in jail with our money. That's what it came across.
Yeah,
Isn't that what they're saying? It literally said
that Kamala supports taxpayer-funded sex changes for prisoners. And it talks about how, you know, she supports funding gender transition surgeries for all prison inmates and migrants in the United States. That ad was impactful.
Coming right off an election where they got crushed, a presidential election where they got crushed on this issue, they haven't moved one inch on it. That is amazing, honestly.
And now,
here's a headline.
By the, go, you know the thing.
Headlines we didn't get to.
Mattel launches Barbie doll with diabetes. I have mixed emotions about this whole thing, but I guess a feminist Barbie makes sense. Ilhan Omar's activist daughter, unemployed after graduation from Barnard. Corporate America is very, very slowly waking up to the fact that you need to sniff for communism before you hire that latest college grad. Headline, I'm a young meteorologist who questioned the idea of man-made climate change. The climate zealots wanted to be punished, silenced, and expelled. Meteorology is very similar to zoology in zoos, and that the climate nutters took over. It's a completely fascinating field. The climate nutters took over and ruined, like they did everything else. Hegseth and Trump open up about Operation Midnight Hammer. And that is, again, one of the contacts in Lindsey Graham's phone. We are going to check out of here, and we're going to come back and do this again tomorrow. You can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. That's all.
This is an iHeart podcast.